Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music tonight. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Genesis in chapter 45. Genesis chapter 45. Wednesday nights we've been going through and studying on the life of Joseph. And it has been a tremendous study. I think every time I get into one of the Bible characters and start studying it, you think, what can't get any better than this? You know, I was thinking that when we went through the life of David and the life of Paul, and now we're going through the life of Joseph, and I'm thinking it can't get any better than this. I tell you, it's just a tremendous Bible study, the life of Joseph, and God has recorded it as a type of Christ in the Old Testament. And as we study the lives of the different characters in the Bible, we can learn these practical principles that we can apply to our lives. Can I tell you that the truth never changes? Principles that God has established, they never change. And we learn the stories of the Old Testament, and there's principles in all the stories that we are to learn from and able to apply. And what a blessing it is when we see it taught in the Old Testament by example, and you see the revelations of the Lord Jesus Christ as He brings it to light in the New Testament. And it's just a blessing how it's been going together, and I trust you've been helped by it as well. As we look to the life of Joseph, the theme of the entire life of Joseph is God is able to work all things out for good. At the end, you'll find, and many of you already studied, you know it, he told his brothers, you meant it for evil, God meant it unto good. And then we find that taught in Romans 8:28. So what a verse that we look to all the time. For all things work together for good, to those that love God, to those that are the called according to his purpose. And so it goes right along. That verse is the biblical truths given to us and taught in the principle in the life of Joseph. And it's just a tremendous how it all works together. Well, as we're coming to chapter 45 now, Joseph has been following God's plan for restoring Jacob's family. If you remember back, his own brothers sold him into slavery. And they meant it for evil. Satan worked through their lives for evil. We're going to see some of that tonight even. But God allowed it so that good can come from it. And throughout the life of Joseph, we see God's grace and His mercy. We see the hand of God upon Joseph's life. But now that Joseph is where God wanted him to be, he's the right hand of Pharaoh. He is a governor over all of Egypt, the most powerful nation on this planet Earth at that time. Nothing was done without Joseph's approval. From being sold into slavery to being the head over the most powerful nation on planet Earth. Only God could do such a thing. Out of prison, come right out of prison to go to that position. Only God could do such a thing. And God did such a thing. And what a great blessing it was. And God was now working through Joseph to restore Jacob's family. Jacob is one of the patriarchs who would be known as Israel. And through his 12 children would come the 12 tribes of Israel. What the Old Testament highlights throughout the entire Old Testament, the nation of Israel, God's chosen people. But they had to get to the place where God was going to use them as His chosen people. When they sold Joseph into slavery, it was a bunch of rebels, backslidden so-called children of God. And God had to work to get them to the place where they could be representative of the 12 tribes of Israel. God's going to work through the life of Joseph to accomplish that. So now the boys are coming. Joseph's already seen his brothers. And Joseph wanted to go down and hug and kiss them and let them know that he was Joseph, but God had a plan to put him through some tests. So Joseph had to hold back his emotions. And what a great lesson that is right there. We can't allow emotions to be what leads our lives, that dictates what we do and how we live. Those emotions or feelings change from day to day. God's Word remains the same. We don't live by emotions. We don't allow emotions and feelings to dictate how we live our lives or how we respond to whatever situations in life. No, you have to look to the Word of God. No matter how you feel, you abide by the Word of God. Amen. So we studied that. What a great lesson that was. Joseph had to hold back his emotions, his feelings, because he was to be used by God to put his brothers through some tests or trials to get them to the place where they could be used as the 12 tribes of Israel. In order to do that, God had to reconcile, or if you would, restore this dysfunctional family. And he would do that. Well, tonight, the tests are over. The boys have been through the trials of life, been some 23 years. And now we find that they're to the place where God wanted them to be, where they could be representation of God and God's chosen family. And they could represent the 12 tribes of Israel. And tonight, a hallelujah time for Joseph. He is able now to share his emotions. He's able now to present to his brothers their brother, the one they thought to be dead. And so we're going to see that tonight. Chapter 45. Go ahead and stand with me, if you will. We'll read the Word of God. Chapter 45, Genesis. Are you plugged in tonight? Amen. Wednesday nights are always a tough one. Tough one. Yeah, because we've had battles a lot. We've had a lot of battles since Sunday. And only you know and God knows what you've been through. But you made it to church tonight. Praise the Lord for that. There's help in the presence of God. And you've come tonight. I trust you've come tonight ready to receive what God has for you. I believe God has something for all of us. Every time we open up the Bible and read it, God has a purpose and He has a help for us. Tonight, Genesis chapter 45. Just going to read three verses. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him. And he cried, "Cause every man to go out from me." And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud. Just picture this in your mind. And the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. All the Egyptian guards, they had left the premises, but even outside the doors, they could hear Joseph weeping. And they went and said, "We better tell Pharaoh what's going on here." And so the Bible says that all the house of Pharaoh heard. And verse 3. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "I am Joseph." And every one of their jaws dropped to the ground. "Doth my father yet live?" And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. Wow. Let's pray and we'll get into the message tonight. Father, we bow before you. Thank you, Lord God, for loving us. Thank you, Father, for revealing yourself to us through your word, revealing your truths, biblical principles taught through the stories of the Old Testament and all that you have revealed and preserved for us so that we might have your truths and know the very mind of God. Thank you for all that are here tonight and that took advantage of the opportunity, made the right decisions to be in church tonight. And I pray that you'd bless them because of that. I pray that you would just empower the preaching and the teaching of thy word. Speak to us tonight as we have need to be spoken to. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. The tests were now over. The brothers had changed from being the rebels of selling their youngest brother into slavery for selfish reasons. Focused nothing on nothing else but themselves. That's where they were when they sold Joseph into slavery. Didn't care about how it affected Dad. Didn't care how it affected Joseph. It was what they wanted to do because they felt like it was best for them. Allowed them to be able to live however they wanted to live without having a tattletale hanging around them and telling Dad every time they did something wrong. Didn't want to have any accountability whatsoever, so they thought, let's get rid of this accountability. Let's get rid of this tattletale. Let's get rid of this spy, if you will, Dad's favorite. From that kind of mentality, selfish, self-centered, thinking about nobody but themselves, some 23 years later, God working, they finally come to the place where they were willing to sacrifice themselves for others. Every one of them were willing to sacrifice their will so that what would be best, if you will, for their family could not let Benjamin be taken. Joseph would kill Dad. Use us. Make us servants in Benjamin's stead. Now Joseph had planted all his golden cup in Benjamin's bag, and they said, whoever's bag you find in, let them be your servant forever. And to say, well, God had it all planned. Joseph was following God's plan to get these boys to this place, to find out where they were. They found it in Benjamin's sack, and we studied this last week, but they all were willing to sacrifice themselves for what would be best for Jacob, their family, and the will of God. God wants us there. God wants us to be willing to be the person focused on God's will and say, I will suffer even though I am innocent in this, even though I didn't do wrong, but I will suffer wrong if that will advance the cause of Christ. If that's what's best for my family. Sometimes you have to be willing to let your pride, amen, go. Be willing, instead of saying, I'm going to prove that I'm right, you might prove you're right and lose your family, lose your children. Have to look to God and say, God, is this something that you just would have me to love cover? And chalk it up to their immaturity, their lack of understanding your will, their possibly their lack of understanding the Word of God and what you'd have them to do. Would you have me to just swallow my pride, forgive them before they even ask for forgiveness, and suffer, sacrifice self to be able to help them? To further the cause of Christ. Can I tell you, that's the mentality that God would have every Christian to have for his home and for the church. Amen. You have to sacrifice for unity. But in the long run, you will benefit from the unity of a unified home. You will benefit from the unity of a unified church. You, at some point, will benefit for God. But at times you might have to suffer. Be willing to sacrifice for God's will for your life. Praise the Lord. That was the message. And so now they were to that place. Joseph has been willing to sacrifice. Now he's able to come before his brethren. Joseph no longer has to control his emotions and hide his identity. He had been doing this for some time to put them through the trials and through the tests. They passed the test. They have willingly said, we will sacrifice. We cannot allow Benjamin to stay. It'll kill Dad. It'll destroy our home. So we're willing to sacrifice for that. And so now in chapter 45, verses 1 and 2, Joseph, what a relief. He no longer had to guard himself and but now he could allow his emotions to be seen. When the home and the church is unified, you know, you can let your guard down. When you're around others of like faith and like belief, and you know that share the very same love for God that you do, you know, it's a place of refuge. At work, you have to put your guard up. One of the things my wife has a hard time with, I have to remind her all the time, you're not in church. She feels like she's out and she's on church mode and has to smile and greet everybody. And sometimes that's taken wrongfully. You know, they think she's up to something different than what she's really doing. She's just wanting to be friendly. If you've been out with her, you know what I'm talking about. And then she wonders why people follow around all through the store. You have to be on guard when you're in the world, because you never know how you're going to be taken. And the mindset of the world is different than the mindset of God's people. But when the church is unified and we're all together under God's authority and we're looking to worship Him, you know, it's what a relief that you can just let your guard down and you can call one another brothers and sisters and you can smile at each other. And you, that, praise the Lord. We want that kind of unity. When you come home from your work and you come home from all the different temptations of the world, what a great thing it is to come home to a place of unity. And you can just be yourself. In a right relationship, you don't have to worry about playing mind games that you do when you're dating. You're afraid to let them see who you really are. They might not like who you are. Amen? Everybody in agreement with that? You understand where I'm coming from? What a blessing. It's too late. You're married to me. And you can let your guard down and you can relax and you can just be unified in your home. And that's the way it should be, a place of refuge. Joseph is at that place right now and he knows that the test is over. They had passed the test. They were willing to do what God wanted them to do. Get to the place where they're willing to sacrifice for others. And now he's able to let his guard down, puts out all of the other servants, and he's revealing himself to his brethren. What a relief. The message tonight, that's all introductory. Verse 3. I am Joseph. Now it's time for the brothers to see their brother. Joseph had seen his brother some time ago. They didn't recognize him as standing over them. They come and bowed down before him. As God had revealed to Joseph, they would at some point. And Joseph seen them, and the first instinct, emotions was, they're my brothers. I haven't seen them in 23 years. I want to go down. I want to hug them. I want to go down. I want to let my emotions out. I want to show them how much I love them. They're my brothers, even though they sold me into slavery. They're my flesh and blood. He wasn't able to do that. We studied how he had to control his emotions. But now he's able to let his emotions go. Now it's the brother's turn to realize, you're Joseph? And their minds, I mean, you can flood it with thoughts. I thought you were dead. We sold you into slavery. The last we remember of you, you were crying out to us not to do that. You were begging us not to do that evil thing. And we laughed in your face. And we said, good riddance, you're not a part of us any longer. All these things going through their mind. And now you're the most powerful man on earth. And no doubt there's a little bit of fear. There's a little bit of anxiety. There's that word troubled. Look what it says. I am Joseph. And Joseph, now he'd let his guard down. He's wanting to talk a mile a minute. You can just imagine that. Now he's feeling relieved. This is my brothers. I'm opening down. How's Dad? How's everything going? I mean, he's just wanting to talk. And his brethren could not answer him. Shocked. Have you ever been there? Something you see, something somebody you've heard. Just unbelief. To the place where you can't even, I don't know what to say. I don't know how to respond. For they were troubled at his presence. That word troubled at his presence means shocked, bewildered, even terrorized. Has a lot of meaning to it. Shocked, bewildered, even terrorized. They had to come face to face with their sin. If you've ever been caught in a sin and there's no way out, you can't hide it any longer, You can't lie your way out of it. You're troubled. And your jaw might fall down and hit the floor when somebody presents it like, how did you know that? Shocked. Maybe even terrorized. What's going to happen now? For 23 years, they had been haunted by what they had done to their brother. We've seen this throughout, little clips of it. They kept referring back to God's judging us because what we did to Joseph many years ago. Joseph heard them say that. That was part of the test to find out if they would acknowledge their sin and confess their sin. Yeah, we've studied all that. But 23 years they had been haunted by what they had done to their brother. An evil that Satan had used to gain a victory over them. Not just over Joseph, and we'll see a little bit of that. But Satan led them to do what they did, and they yielded to it because they were rebellious. They weren't looking to God. They were looking to themselves. They had fallen into the trap that Satan had set for them to give in to their flesh, to give in to their feelings, and do what they thought they wanted to do. No matter how it affected anybody else, no matter who was hurt from it, they was going to do what they wanted to do for themselves. Get rid of him. No accountability to Dad any longer. We don't have a tattletale. Satan had used them yielding to their flesh and yielding to their sin nature to do something to Joseph. But for 23 years, Joseph was out of the picture, and they were haunted by what they had done. And Satan had a handle and had his grips on them and had been using that for 23 years. You see, when you yield to sin, you're doing more than just yielding to sin and yielding to your flesh. You're yielding to a spirit of Satan. And when you yield to that sin scars you. He has no power over you except what you give to him. But when you give it to him, he will use it to destroy you. They would have thought him to be dead. They would have thought there's no way. Even though they had started coming back to God for those 23 years, they're thinking, we can't tell Dad. We can't tell Dad the truth. 23 years living a lie. 23 years having this sin that Satan was using against them. They thought he was dead. No way to make it right. Can I tell you, there's going to be a similar response from Israel at the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is so good. Zechariah chapter 12. Zechariah chapter 12. Let me just read it to you. Write it down. I want you to go back. Zechariah's prophecy of the end times. And we're in the book of Revelation on Sunday nights. And of course, we're in the month of June right now. But as soon as we get through the month of June, we'll get back into our study in the book of Revelation. But Israel, they do not want to believe that they crucified the Messiah. The Jews today, they still believe the Messiah has yet to come. They're still looking for him. They believe Jesus to be a good prophet, a good man. But they do not believe that he was the Messiah. So they cannot and they will not believe in Christianity as what we do tonight. But one day it will be revealed to them. And they will have to come to the conclusion and the understanding that they crucified the Messiah. And if they would have only accepted him when he came, what a difference it would have made. And we find Zechariah, his prophecy reveals that to us. In Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 10, it says this. Chapter 12 and verse 10. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication. That's what's going to come to the brothers here in just a little bit. Spirit of grace and of supplication. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. And they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. Like you'd lost your firstborn, you'd lost your only son. That kind of mourning here for what they had done. They're going to come to the understanding that they crucified the Messiah. And in that day shall there be a great mourning in Jerusalem, as the mourning of Hadarimon in the valley of Megiddon. And the land shall mourn every family apart, the family of the house of David apart, and their wives apart, the family of the house of Nathan apart, and their wives apart, the family of the house of Levi apart, and their wives apart, the family of Shimei apart, and their wives apart, all the families that remain, every family apart, and their wives. When they come face to face and Jesus reveals himself as a Messiah during this time of the tribulation period, that's what's going to be most about the Jews during that period of time. And they're going to realize that Jesus was the Messiah. We crucified him. His brothers now. His dreams. What he tried to tell us, they were true. God had plans for his life. And we sold him into slavery. Wow. And they were troubled. Didn't know what to say. Didn't know how to respond. Can I tell you, two main applications. That's the message right there. I mean, that's what's going on in the life of Joseph and his brothers. His brothers now have to come face to face with what they did to Joseph. Two main applications, biblical principles. First, Satan wants to use everyone to be an offense to others. No matter who you are, Satan wants to use you in your life to be an offense to others. God wants to use your life to be a blessing. It's not automatic. It's not forced. God wants to use your life to serve him, to accomplish his purpose and his plan for your life. God loves the world. He loves all humanity. It's not God's will that any should perish. God wants you to get saved. And after you get saved, God wants to empower you with the Holy Spirit of God. He wants to use you and the talents and the abilities and the opportunities that he will present in your life. He wants to use you to be a blessing. There's no one exempt. There's no one exempt from that. God wants to use you. Satan wants to use you to be an offense. It comes down to your choices and my choices. Matthew chapter 18, verse 7. Jesus presents this. This is a principle taught in the life of Joseph. Jesus teaches this to his disciples. Matthew chapter 18, verse 7. Woe unto the world because of offenses. For it must needs be that offense is cometh. But woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. That man, individual. It's not God's will that you be an offense, but Satan is here actively involved in God. He wants to use your life to be an offense to other people. God says, I have to allow it because I've given man a free will. It's not my will for your life, but I've given you a free will. It's going to be determined by your choices. You choose me, or you choose to let Satan, whether you believe in Satan or not, or even believe he exists, you yield to him, and he's going to use your life as an offense. But this one thing you can be assured of, woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. If you're being used to be an offense, you will stand and give an account one day. You will not get by with it. One day you'll stand and your mouth is going to drop. And you're going to be troubled with nothing to say. John 10:10, Jesus taught that Satan, as a thief, cometh but to steal and to kill and destroy. When we fail to yield our lives to God and Satan starts working in and through our lives, it is to steal and kill and destroy. And when you start thinking and you only have yourself to think about, and you act as his brothers acted, Satan gets a victory, because through that he is planning to steal God's blessings, to kill, and to destroy. Can I tell you tonight, no doubt Satan has used others in our lives to attempt to destroy us. Look back over your life. Can I tell you that there has been plants? Satan has brought people in your life to try to be an offense to you. Maybe you was abused as a child. Wasn't God's will. Somebody yelled it to Satan to be an offense to you. Maybe you were abused by a boy or a girl in high school or on a date or whatever it might be. Listen to me, that was not God's will. But God had to allow that person to choose to be an offense, and he chose to be an offense to you. Maybe you've been lied about. Maybe somebody stolen from you. If you've ever had somebody break into your house or break into your car and steal something from you, you feel like you've been violated. Amen? An offense. Somebody has offended you. Somebody has been used to bring an offense into your life. And if all of us look back at over our lives, we find that there have been many individuals that have come and have been used to be an offense to my life. And Satan wanted to use them to destroy your life and to mar your life and to get you going in a wrong direction in life. Offense is going to happen. It must needs be that offense come. Must needs be. Because man has a free will. Satan had used others. He used these 10 boys actually, to be an offense to Joseph. So the first thing we learn here is don't be used as an offense. 23 years, Satan had his grips on these boys, had terrorized them with this thought. And now they're standing before the one that they offended, troubled, fearful, facing their own sin. The second principle here, Satan wants to use everyone to be an offense to others. The second thought we find in this story in the life of Joseph was God gives opportunities to allow good to come from what he allows. Why? Because that's who God is. God is good. Jesus said, there is none good but one, and that is God. And God is always good. And God being good and being overseer of all things would not allow something evil to happen if there would not at some point allow something good to come from it. Which God gives opportunities to allow good to come from what he allows. All things work together for good. First of all, to those who love God. If you love God, you're going to look to God. No matter who's offended you. And those that are called according to his purpose, you're going to live and do what God wants you to do no matter what anyone else is doing. And so that verse is telling you that God has given opportunities because God is good. It will depend upon the choices that are made. Our response to offenses. Joseph made right choices so that good could come from his brother's offenses. Isn't that scene right there? That principle it holds true today. Well, I've been offended, so you've been offended, so then you're going to use that as an excuse to do evil, to seek revenge. You just lost the opportunity of good. I'm going to use that offense as an excuse to turn to alcohol. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know how I've been abused and how I've been offended. So I'm going to use that as an opportunity and as an excuse to turn to fleshly lusts and desires. You just lost the opportunity for something good to come out of it. In closing, I've talked to my wife about this. Most of you know her testimony. Perfect example. My wife was raised in a very abusive, dysfunctional, broken home where there was different men brought in. Even being raised, it was not God's will. But the offense came from those that was evil and had given themselves over to the flesh to do whatever they wanted to do, not thinking about how to affect that child's life, not thinking how to affect anybody else. I'm giving in to the ungodly desires of the flesh. Around age 10, God sent a bus worker. If you make the right choice, there's an opportunity somewhere down the line for good to come out of this. God sent a bus worker. She said, yes, I'll ride the bus. Choice. A choice she made. God opened the door, an opportunity. She got into a Sunday school class. A Sunday school teacher opened the Bible, taught her what she needed to do to be saved. She said yes. God gave an opportunity for something good. She made the right choice. God gave her a church where she heard the preaching of the Word of God. She had a man of God stand before the church and preach the Word of God. And she said, I want to learn more about God. I want to learn more about His love, His goodness, His will for the all mankind. God opened the door for her to hear the Word of God being preached. He opened the door for a youth pastor to have a part of her life. And she said, yes, Lord. I'll open my heart to you. I'll start looking to make the right decisions as you reveal to me what is right to do. God always gives opportunity to allow good to come out from that which Satan intended to be used for evil. God called her to full-time ministry, to go to Bible college. And she said, yes. Which God had her future in mind. He knew where He wanted to put her. God sent her a man that needed her as a wife, that prepared her for Him. And she said, yes. And the rest is history. God gives you an opportunity. It will not be determined by the devil. It will not be determined by God. It will be determined by the choices we make. Satan wants to use it for evil, God will give opportunity for good. What choices are you making tonight?